Joe Biden is a sheep, and among other things, the installed puppet of the CCP, the globalists, and the cabal. And what more proof do you need that China is large and in charge and can do whatever they want, essentially with impunity, and they are able to flex because of our weakness? The U.S. Department of Justice, along with New York law enforcement and other agencies, arrested or announced the arrest of two individuals accused of establishing and operating an illegal Chinese regime police station in New York City. Now, we reported on investigations of this in the past, but here we go. Dozens of others, mostly Chinese nationals, currently believed to be in China, are also facing charges of engaging in transnational repression against anti-communist dissidents based in the United States, stemming from accusations that the charge established an online army of fake social media accounts to harass and threaten the dissidents. China is exporting their tyranny, and they're not afraid of Joe Biden and the current political climate to go against them. They've got so many operatives here. Both Chinese nationals, plants, and American assets, including within our own government, including all the way at the top. Now, these are the first made in America since the revelation last year that this is happening. Sure took them long enough, and this is not the only one. Let me play you what Representative Seth Moulton said on CNN.
Brian Perez, thanks so much. Here to discuss Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts. He's on the House Select Committee on China. He's also a Marine veteran. Congressman, good to see you. Are there any more of these police stations set up in the U.S. that are essentially operating on behalf of the Chinese government to harass people here in the U.S. who are dissidents or who are critical of the Chinese government?
Yes, my understanding is that there are. And
yes, so there are. There are many. By the way, this is a Democrat. This is a Democrat. I guess not everyone's bought and sold by China.
And it's really, I mean, just step back from this for a second, Jake. This is absolutely absurd that the Chinese Communist Party thinks that they can set up their own police station in a place like New York City. I mean, imagine you or I taking our families on vacation in a foreign country and getting harassed by the FBI, being tracked for what we're saying or what we're doing in a foreign country on vacation. You know, the heroes of this story, of course, are the Chinese dissidents, these Chinese.
Yeah. I mean, I got to give kudos to any Democrat out there speaking about the reality of China. But it doesn't end there, folks. It doesn't end there. We'll be talking more about China. Now, let's get to what's going on in D.C. The Republicans are actually playing smart. Both the Senate Republican leadership and rank and file Republicans are rejecting this idea that Dianne Feinstein should be temporarily replaced by Chuckie Schumer on the Judiciary Committee. Just like Tom Cotton had called for, and I reported over the weekend, let's not help them. Finally, there's some unity among the Republicans on this. Feinstein has faced calls to resign as she continued her indefinite absence, which led the California Democrat to ask Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to temporarily fill her seat on the influential Judiciary Committee. Without Feinstein, Democrats cannot advance their judicial nominees out of the committee. At least 10 Senate Republicans would have to agree on the Senate floor to replace Feinstein with another Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. However, Senate Republicans have roundly rejected Schumer's move. Here's the great Marsha Blackburn, Republican senator from the great state of Tennessee. I will not go along with Chuck Schumer's plan to replace Senator Feinstein on the Judiciary Committee and pack the court with activist judges. Joe Biden wants the Senate to rubber stamp his unqualified and controversial judges to radically transform America. I mean, we already saw them rubber stamp Ketanji ja Jackson Brown, or is it J Brown Jackson? Totally unqualified. She's embarrassing. She really is embarrassing. Senator Marsha Blackburn goes on to say, Senate Democrats are also attempting to upend precedent and Senate custom by abolishing home state senators' right to object to Biden's activist liberal judges. We must stand up and protect the Senate's constitutional role to provide advice and consent on judicial nominees. Kind of surprised to see that the Senate is actually united on something and not kowtowing to try to look like they're fair to the Democrats. By the way, Senator Marsha Blackburn is one of the latest in a growing list of politicians to support openly President Donald Trump. She tweeted out yesterday, under President Trump, our economy was booming, gas prices were low, and inflation was under control. Sounds like a rhyme, doesn't it? Our border was secure, our adversaries feared us, our military was strong. I am proud to endorse Donald Trump for president and can't wait until he's back in the White House. And she tweeted that out with a picture of her and President Trump, looks like embracing before some sort of rally. Promises made, promises kept. So far, according to the Daily Mail, President Trump has garnered endorsements from 51 members of Congress, including, of course, GOP House Conference Chairwoman Elise Stefanik, and, of course, former House Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs of Arizona. So, we'll see. As far as senators, we have Tommy Tuberville, Cindy Hyde-Smith, Eric Schmidt, Ted Budd, and J.D. Vance, who have all announced support for President Trump in 2024. The other ones are waiting on the sidelines. The Senate is so weak. By the way, the Pentagon is not sure. This is coming out today. According to Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and senior Pentagon officials have convened daily meetings to examine the scope and scale of the disclosure of these leaks, as well to try to prevent future leaks. But they do not know and are not sure how many leaked documents already exist on the internet. This is reported today, but it was revealed yesterday, Monday. Asked by reporters whether the DOD knows at this point how many documents were leaked, Singh said, "This is an ongoing investigation." I actually just love that. Anytime you want to circumvent or dodge a question, this is an ongoing investigation. Sir, did you cheat on your wife? This is an ongoing personal matter. This is awesome. I just found a new way to get out of anything and everything. Mi amor, ¿puedes hacer los trastes? Honey, my wife asked me in the most beautiful language and sexiest language on the planet, Spanish, asked me, honey, will you help with the dishes? And I'm saying, sorry, honey, we've got an ongoing kitchen matter here. I can't answer that question right now. That's a silly example because I never do dishes. And I never ask to do dishes. It's not machismo. It's just, you know, there's a thing called the dishwasher. A machine, not a person. It's ongoing. Well, we're not going to answer this. It's an ongoing thing. But look, here are the bullet points. The Pentagon doesn't know how many leaked documents are out there. But they know the Pentagon doesn't know, but they know everything about the parents who were upset about CRT being taught in their school, about where you stand on social issues, and if you've been injected or not over the virus. It was added that the investigation is being done by several different agencies, including the Pentagon's Intelligence and Security Department, who are doing their own investigation, to get a better assessment of what exactly, what documents were disclosed and where they surface online. They're actually working with big tech again to find this out. Now, it's not just going to be a matter of when the files pop up that big tech will help them. No, rest assured, if this whole malarkey is even true, that will give carte blanche to the big tech to start looking for it, meaning going through suspected and other persons' private information online. Okay, let's stay in D.C., folks. Speaker McCarthy has agreed to increase the debt ceiling until 2024, but he wants to cut spending at the same time. So Biden rolled out a $6.9 trillion budget proposal, and the House GOP says it has raised the debt limit and somehow is planning to do it to cutting spending. In January, the federal government exceeded its roughly $31 trillion debt limit, halting its ability to borrow funds for programs like Social Security and Medicare. Congress last approved a debt ceiling increase in December of 2021. Also in January, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that federal borrowing limit will need to be increased by June of this year to prevent a default on America's national debt. This is what McCarthy's saying. Here's our plan. In the coming weeks, the House will vote on a bill to lift the debt ceiling into the next year, save taxpayers trillions of dollars, make us less dependent upon China, curb our high inflation, all without touching Social Security and Medicare. But Matt Gaetz went on the war room with the great Steve Bannon and revealed that, yeah, McCarthy doesn't have the votes to increase the debt ceiling. So is this a ploy to get it out there and then get support, having public pressure? I don't know. I do know that Kevin McCarthy is conniving. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene brought up a great point. She's like, why is America spending so much money on foreign countries and then borrowing money from those foreign countries to pay our bills? These people in D.C., you can call them stupid, you can call them rogue, but it's all by design to keep themselves in power, have money, and screw over America. And the number one guy who's continued to screw over America, of course, is their Manchurian candidate, the installed Oval Office occupier, the former vice president. So gas prices again are on the rise, but this time the strategic oil reserves can't be used to keep the prices down. The average cost for a gallon of regular gas is up 21% in just 1 month. And it's going to go up more, especially in the Northeast where they haven't started putting in their summer blend in yet, which has already happened on the West Coast. It's, folks, for those of you in the on the East Coast, you're expected to see a hefty jump of 15 to 40 cents per gallon very, very soon. Oil prices remain a wild card, but we're likely a few weeks away from seeing the national average peak. Once again, the takeaway there is gas prices are on the rise again, but this time the petroleum strategic oil reserves are empty. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Joey. Okay, here we have some great info from Jim Jordan, who has revealed that he does have evidence. He does have evidence of what we all know to be true. Here's just the news. Aided by two Obama-era witnesses, congressional investigators led by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan have developed the first evidence that a letter from security experts that falsely dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation during the 2020 election has ties going back to the Joe Biden presidential campaign. Now, folks, this is big news in that there's evidence of this, but once again, this is so what news, not to bust your bubble, but just to be pragmatic and a realist. This is probably going to lead to nothing. Absolute evidence, absolute interface, proof of crimes committed by the campaign of Joe Biden, continued crimes committed by the regime of Joe Biden and his administration and others, and nothing ever happens. Why? Well, apart from having another 1776, it's because our representatives that we vote, or so we're told that they're elections and not select pause shins, our representatives don't represent us. They don't fight the fight that we want them to fight. They fight the fight that puts money in their pockets so they can sleep richer at night. Jordan Jordan expects to release a report from the House panel on weaponization of government later this month and lays out evidence that the players behind the letter, which many Republicans now say was a consequential interference in the last election. Now, we reported on this a couple days ago, but it's making the rounds that we may expect that report sooner. Once again, we can have all the evidence against the Bidens, and they continue to get away with it. Nancy Pelosi is having to pay a $7,500. Nancy Pelosi pays $7,500 settlement. Why? She paid this to an Illinois man who sued her because he was getting tired of so many fundraising text messages. What a precedent this is setting. Can any politician be sued on the basis of this? Pelosi campaign pays $7,500 to Illinois man who sued over invasive and harassing text messages. Jorge Rojas sued Pelosi in federal court in October, accusing her and her campaign of violating the Telephone Consumer Protection Act by sending him 21 harassing text messages in a 9-month span. That came from a report from Business Insider. So, originally it was set up for phones, but it now has, this law can now be applied to text messages. And you're not supposed to be contacting them, I guess, by text message if they are on the DNC. Not the Democrat National Committee, but the Do Not Call list. Speaking of Democrats, just a week ago, Louisiana State Representative Jeremy Lacombe switched from Democrat to Republican. Now, and we have in West Virginia a lawmaker named Elliot Pritt. He's doing the same thing. So this is like the fourth or fifth or sixth person that has flipped parties. This makes Pritt the fourth Democrat to leave the party and become a Republican in just the last 2 months. Wait a minute. Are we seeing Republicans afraid of President Trump and joining the Democrat ranks? That ain't happening. That isn't happening. And I want to end with this story because I've been documenting these as they happen. This happened over the weekend and I failed to report on it. But a train carrying hazardous material had derailed in rural Maine over the weekend. Canadian Pacific Railway say one of their trains derailed 8:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. They say lumber cars and three locomotives derailed about 15 miles east of Jackman in the Moosehead Lake region due to track washout. The train caught fire and the company says only involved locomotives and lumber cars, not the hazardous materials that were also being carried on the train. Rockwood Fire and Rescue asked area residents to stay clear of the area. And that's all the news I have so far. So once again, another train derailment carrying hazardous materials, but everything is fine. The train caught fire, but only the lumber cars were of worry. The hazardous materials, don't worry about it. They have that under control. All right, folks, we'll have more news for you later today. And don't forget to check out my other show, BCP Unfiltered. Just go over to therealbcp.com and join a community for free. And go and watch episode 319. Just go ahead and watch it. Because this show, Open Source News, airs on YouTube. I can't even tell you what's on episode 319. But go over, join our community for free over at therealbcp.com. At the very top, you'll be able to see episode 319 I dropped last night. And I've got another report going up later today. Don't forget to check out our sister channel, The BCP Report. Juniorette dropped the report this morning about Trump's revelations about his front row enemy. Check it out. BCPReport.com. The links to everything I just mentioned are down below. Ciao, goodbye, big hug, God bless.